Welcome back to All of This is Temporary. We're your hosts.
Ray Stone and Melody Gates.
Punto.com.
Punto.com.
Every once in a while, I like how you will just kind of out of nowhere just go, Punto.com. And I go, huh? And you're like, nothing. It's just what I like.
I don't know why. I just love that.
Episode 16. We're almost a great success. This week's episode is brought to you by studio upgrades and perseverance.
Oh, perseverance. Always our friend.
Yeah.
Always there.
Yep. Procrastination sometimes. Yes. Fine.
I hold that down.
Studio upgrades. Less of an echo this week. It's really nice.
Good job.
I can hear it.
You can hear the not echo.
Yeah, the dampening. Yeah. It's really nice.
No, I can too, actually.
Yeah, we can cackle a little bit. I'm going to have to cover some more of the walls with some sound dampening stuff, but it's way, way better already.
Yeah, it's great. Good job.
Yeah, I found that on my Adjust Your Shorts, because it's just me, I'm like yelling and like laughing into the distance, and I can just hear the echo. Mm-hmm. When I listen back. So we put up some sound blankets, and they're actually working pretty well.
It's so good. Yeah.
Pretty dang good. Yeah, welcome to the show. We got a jam-packed episode this week. We do have a very special Bomb With Me episode up in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
The worst I've ever done on stage. The most people offended at one time on a Black national holiday on Juneteenth. And you know what? I'm going to put it to the listener first, or the viewer right up top. So I show up to the open mic and I go to check in, and I'm there at my usual time. You're supposed to get there 10, 15 minutes early to sign up, check in with Lamar. Lamar's the guy who runs the show. He's a Black guy.
Barry does not like Ray because he's white. And handsome.
Yeah, he definitely is the typical, like, kind of, I don't get any love from him. Like, he doesn't mm-hmm. homie up to me. He's better than me. And all I want to do is take him snowboarding. And
you're like, I just want to be buddies.
No. I want to show him who the fucking boss is.
Yeah. Guys think so differently.
Well, it's like, so I remember when I was a brand new. When you're brand new at anything, you're the new guy. And the guys that have been there doing it for a long time, they look down on you. Unless you've helped a lot of people do it. Like when I was snowboarding, because I was getting better, you know, I would kind of look down at people that weren't as good until I was like in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, oh, you know what? Of course, everybody has to be a beginner.
Yeah.
If you're learning, then that's just a good thing. It means
it's good, because that means the art is going to continue. If there aren't people learning, then the sport or the art or whatever it is going to die.
Yeah.
But, so it's very important.
But in comedy, at least in this situation, the guy who hosts it really just doesn't give a lot of love. And I find that most of the comedians, like, they'll fist bump you. Some of them try to chat after the show and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the ones who actually are working, you know, and like doing it, they definitely don't want to share their secrets or don't want to talk to you. And unless you do really, really well, then they will come up and be like, dude, you know, you had the set. That was a good one. And I've had a couple of those, but this ain't one of them. Ooh, I'm so happy to finally get this out of the way. Mm-hmm. This is a real live bomb. I mean, just epic proportions. So anyway, oh, right. So the story, I show up. I'm on time. The owner of the club says, yeah, Lamar's, he's running a little late. And I go, okay. And this is on June 19th, on the Juneteenth holiday. So I go, and I was trying to think of a joke about Juneteenth, how my joke was that it sounds like a made-up holiday. Like, it happens in Narnia on Nebuary, whatever date.
I kind of thought it was made up when it first came out.
Juneteenth is the silliest way. It's like, oh, how do we tell these, you know, this group of people that they matter? I know, we'll give them a holiday that sounds like a joke. So my mind, I'm trying to find a way to make that funny. I can't do it. I can't
find it. For the Juneteenth time.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Just a cotton picking minute. And I'm like, okay. So I abandoned my idea to try to tell a Juneteenth joke, and I just write a different set of jokes. I'm happy with them. But when I get there, the owner of the club tells me, Lamar, the black fella hosting on Juneteenth, is late, which is a stereotype. Now, I don't realize that until I'm outside and another comedian shows up. And he's like, hey, dude, good to see you. Are you going up tonight? And I go, yeah, I am. And he goes, all right, me too. I got to go check in. I said, well, you can hold off because Lamar's not here yet. And then I lock eyes with him. I go, wait a second. Today's Juneteenth. And Lamar's late. And he starts laughing immediately because I see it. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh no, does this mean one of us has to try this joke on stage? And he goes, not it, basically. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'm not touching that. I'm like, I don't want to offend the host of the show.
So right then, I decide to try to wing it a little bit. And boy, does it go well.
Man, I don't sweat a lot, but...
You were sweating like a black man.
Oh my God. And it's cold in there. It is cold in that room. And I think I took my jacket off. Oh, I'm so glad we were almost a year in. If that was your first set that I saw, I don't think you would have gotten late that night.
We were with the comedians, and that lineup was all black comedians. There were only like two white people on, and I was one of them. And you were sitting with all of them as they were grumbling and like, oh, no, he didn't.
They're all around me. There are a couple like directly behind me. They're like, no.
He did not. What's funny is
they weren't laughing. They were like,
you were sweating like a black man in church, which I used to think meant like a black man sweats in church because he's nervous. But I found out years later that no, it's because a black man in church is like clapping and dancing and singing because that's how they.
I thought it was because they didn't have air conditioning.
No, it has nothing to do with them being poor and nervous. It has more to do with the fact that they're dancing and singing.
You thought because they were committing so many crimes.
I don't know. Maybe that is what it's supposed to mean because it's like sweating like a black man in church. But I also have a couple of really fun videos to go over. But before all of that, I want to take just a moment and welcome the newest member to the snowboard community.
Oh, that's me.
The growing snowboard community in the house. Now there are two.
I'm hooked. It just took one time. I wasn't fully expecting to even get up on the board the first day because I heard not to expect that. I heard it's really hard and you're probably not even going to get up till you've gone out like a handful of times. And so I was like, my goal was to get up. That's all. And to have fun, obviously. I didn't want to get frustrated.
Yeah.
I surpassed my goals.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Did you get like a lesson or anything like that? Or
you were the best teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put the word out because everyone's going to be wanting lessons. But I felt so bad because we saw a couple of really large groups that were getting group lessons.
I counted 12 heads in one of the groups.
And they were just like falling one after the other. They're just falling down that little bunny hill. And that might have been me if I didn't have your instruction. You were there to like, you helping me to stay up in the beginning was just so key because I just need to get the feeling. It's like the training wheels. And you take the training wheels off and then let them go and then they'll figure it out.
I mean, there's definitely more to it than that. A ton of information that you just, if it's in your head, even if you aren't quite able to get it, it being there and like kind of giving you the basics of it, kind of going over it a few times. It's so important. I mean, just knowing to lift the edge that's downhill. And then what to do with your body, how to get your body into a position. Like there were a couple times when you locked into the position and everything went well, I could see it all over your face that, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
And then a second later, your brain's like, wait, how did we do that? And then you sit down and, you know, you did all the normal stuff. You just did it faster. You know, it was really nice.
Well, also like I'm so familiar with that feeling of struggle until you get to a point where it's like non-effort. And that's what in yoga, like that's what you're going for in every pose. And I feel that in poses when I'm learning a new pose, or back in the day when I was learning a new pose all the time, that's what I would always look for. And I knew that I mastered the pose when I could feel that ease and
right.
Right in it. And I know that feeling. And
yeah.
I got it a couple of times.
I really wish I had been able to give myself or take a lesson from someone who had the years of experience with teaching that I had when I first started. Because I had a bunch of bad habits that needed to be broken once I actually finally took a lesson in order to teach snowboarding. Because they want, at Park City, they want you to look a certain way and ride a certain way in order for them to say, yeah, this is one of our teachers. We're proud of the way that they ride. So the first thing they do is take us out and give us a lesson and break down our bad habits. It's like, sure, you can get down the mountain. Sure, you can get down blacks and trees and all that stuff, but can you do it well? Or are you using extra energy?
Yep.
And have you even locked in and gotten your hips over your toe edge, which is something people don't do unless you're told to do it. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of like tends to just like bend over at the waist when they're on their like toe edge. Mm-hmm. So you're like reaching for the snow that's in front of you, but your butt's behind your heel edge. So you're making it really difficult for yourself to stay on the toe edge.
Yeah, we saw some girls doing that, yeah.
Instead of standing up, stand upright, and get your hips and shoulders over that edge and engage. I know this is super boring, but...
No, it's good. I saw that a lot in rock climbing, too. I would see big, strong guys. They would get up the wall, but only because they were muscling through it. If you put them on a harder route, they wouldn't be able to do it because they didn't know how to get their body into their hips and everything.
What is it called? The
fulcrum point.
Yeah.
There's like no awareness of the fulcrum point.
Yeah. If you can get your hips on the rock, your legs do the work instead of your arms doing the work.
Yeah.
And it's so much nicer. But yeah, so we went up and we had a nice day in the sun. It was 40 degrees.
That was beautiful.
It was mashed potatoes. For those of you who know, mashed potatoes is fun. It's great learning. So I didn't even strap in my back foot. Never had to the whole day. So that was fun. But you crushed it. And so, yeah, welcome to the snowboard community.
Thank you.
The freshest.
I like it so much more than skiing. It is way more fun.
It is way more fun.
Skiing aggravated my hip too. This did not bother my hip at all.
They work in unison. Now you will, as time goes on, you're going to hit the ground hard. But when you pick up more speed, instead of falling and then just like thudding into place, you hit and skip. So hitting and sliding is less painful than hitting and staying. So it's like the faster you go, the more like hectic the crashes seem, but the less damage they actually do. The dead thud of a 2 mile per hour fall.
Oh, I had one or two of those.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah,
brain rattled a little bit,
and you just go, oh. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like as the instructor, I'm just like, that's the one that hurts, and I was having
so much fun. Like you were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like my brain got rattled a little bit.
Yeah.
But like I was like so unaffected by the falls.
And then you got to a point where it was like, yeah, you can just sit down. You can like it, and I, the please, when I say please sit, because I can tell people to sit all day and they won't do it. When you hear me say please, everyone sits because
I can tell like, oh shit, he means business.
Yeah, for whatever reason, to asking please sit is a better cue. And then it was like, okay, so you get out a little bit out of control. You're able to set it down and crash with some, without hurting yourself, and then reset and start again. But you're able to get one or two turns in, not full linking, but at least figuring out how each way works and control going on your toes and control going on your heels. That was all that I could hope for.
Yeah.
And then next time we'll try linking them up, and then I'll disappear and let you work some stuff out on your own, because that's just as important.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I need now. It's just time to play with everything you taught me.
Yeah. Yeah, refresher, an hour together in the morning next time we go, and then I'll go walk away for a couple runs and then pop back in and check on you and see just how bad it is.
See if you still like it.
Yeah, see if we're still friends.
good times.
Well, before we go any further, I want to jump into a couple of these videos that I think are hilarious. So right meow, let's go ahead and turn our attention to the Devi. And choose this window. Okay. Okay.
Did he just turn, what, 35?
This is really funny. So just, you could see the title of it is If Jordan Peterson Didn't Have So Many Words.
Who's Jordan Peterson? Who's Jordan Peterson? Should I know him?
Yeah, he's like a motivational speaker who's all about like, being a motivational, he's a motivational speaker. Here you go.
Hello, welcome to today. You might think today is just normal, regular, every other day, just like all the other days. But you would be wrong. And why are you wrong? Because today is the most important day of all days. Why you might ask, can I say this with confidence?
What time is it?
It's because today is the most important day of your entire life. Why? Because today is the only day that you can do anything with. Because all your other days that you used to do, that you've already had, those days, they're over and done. You can't do anything with them. And all the ones that you're thinking about happening may never come. And then when they do get here, whether or not they're not there anymore, they're here. So it's always right here where you're at now. So that just becomes your new now. But that means that the now that you were looking for is now. So why not just enjoy the now that you're having now? Okay. Have a nice day and stuff.
You've been sitting on this for how long?
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
I needed this. I've had I was not enjoying my now last week. I needed that video.
Today? With his hand?
Why you might ask? Because all those other days I used to do, you've already done them. All those days I haven't come. Rodney D. Norman, if you would like some more inspirational advice.
Okay, here we go. take a good look at that.
Wow. What did he do to his, are those biceps? No, that's not real. No, this isn't real. Is he wearing floaties?
He has installed some biceps. He has clearly made cuts in his arms and put something in there. And he thinks this looks good. And if you look at his face, something is wrong.
Something's a little off. He looks very happy.
He is so pleased with the size of his biceps.
That's all he can see. He cannot see his little legs. Oh my God.
It's funny that you said that, because the title of this is
Don't Skip a Leg Day.
Oh, look at his little flippers. He's flipping. What's he doing with his hands?
What?
Also, look at his lips.
I was about to say.
He's doing some filler. Look at those arms. Look at those guns, though. What? So is this is he Russian tarted, or how
that
does
hurts
that?
My stomach? Sometimes, yeah. I see things that kind of disgust me a little bit.
Speaking of the stomach, let's see a little more from this fella here. Hold on. this is just something else.
Oh, the same guy? Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to see him eat.
Well, he wants you to see him seeing himself eat. This is how
what's
do you?
What's he doing?
What do you mean? What's he doing? He's showing you how to.
He's just eating eggs.
He's showing you how to get those muscles, and then if you just give it a second, he'll also look at his lips. I think there's something in his chin too. I think he puts.
I can't look away. What? It's like pointy.
Yeah, I think he put something in there. And then in a second, yeah, I think he's Russian because he looks Russian, I guess. Oh, but it says at USA Bazooka Arms. Oh, it's Bazooka Arms. I think I've heard about this guy on the YMH.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. Now look, wait. There's more. Look at this.
What?
He's showing you his legs too. If you're just listening, this man has injected his arms to a degree that I don't understand. We don't know. We don't know why, what he did.
One arm is the size of two of his legs.
Yeah. It's so bad. But so good for us. So TikTok has
been... So if you want to look like that, just eat eggs.
Yeah. And then I think you just inject the yolks right into your arms.
Yeah. And then you might... How do you get your lips like that? Do you like spread some egg whites over the top or... A little basting.
Sting it with a bee.
It's so bad.
A little basting or a little bee sting?
A little basting.
A little bee sting. Basting.
I mean, but honestly, if you're going to do work like that, like do fillers, get some kind of weird muscles put into your body, don't make it look natural. Don't even make... Because then you have a lot of people trying to look unnatural, but they think it's beautiful. Like, just look absolutely ridiculous. And then I'm on board with that. Like, I'm still going to look at you like a train wreck, but
yeah,
I won't have hatred in my heart like I do with the Scottsdale women.
You know, but all we got to do is back up to the previous guy and say, you know what? He's living his best today.
So, that's all that matters.
Why today, you ask? Well, let me tell you, because all the days in the past, those are already gone. You can't do anything with those days. So I guess all the days in the future aren't today yet until they get here. Then they're today now. So now that's the new today now.
It's the new now.
Okay.
I love that guy. What's his name? Norman D. Norman?
Norman Bates, I think.
Something Norman. And I loved him. I thought he was going to say something about the sun being so bright. And that's why it was a different day. Because his eyes were squinted. But it really was a message that I needed to hear. I think, this past week, I don't know why, I've just been kind of stuck in my head a lot and thinking about the past and thinking about the future and not thinking so much about today.
Yeah.
So, and what really matters is today. So thank you, Norman.
Today. Today's the only day that matters today. So have a great one. Bye. Days.
Why you ask? What time is it? I was just waiting for him to say that.
On our way. I just found out that episode 21 will be when we make it rich, when we finally make it.
Our chances of making it will significantly increase at episode 21.
That's not how I heard it. I heard it that's going to be instant success at episode 21. Forever. So we're at 16. We only have 5 more to go. We're
And I still don't know how to tell a real joke.
We're 3/4 of the way there.
No.
That was a good low one.
No, they're never.
It almost kind of sounded like
I don't know.
My voice.
I don't really mind burps that much.
Yeah, you did.
I just act like I do.
You did one in there.
I do. I think they're kind of funny. I'm not a big fart person. I don't like the farts, but the burps are funny.
Yeah. The Today guy reminds me, I put him as if Jordan Peterson didn't. So Jordan Peterson likes to talk about there's only one day. Today's the only day. He's the one that was all talking about the zone of proximal development.
Oh, okay.
The hub, yeah, okay. Zone of proximal development. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, when you're basically living in or working in like a, what do they call it? The fugue state, where when you're on point, when you're in the zone. As mm-hmm. they say, when you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I can see. I have had a couple moments where I'm like, okay, I'm doing a thing and I feel like I'm exactly right where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can predict the next thing that's going to happen. And everything I'm doing is exactly right.
Yeah, and I used to get that a lot with serving. Sorry.
And that's the thing that he kind of like talks about. One mm-hmm. of the things that he talks about is like just basically setting yourself up to be successful. So I love that this is the this is the version of, if he didn't have such eloquence, like, we all think these things. We're all capable of thinking them. We're just not all capable of putting them together in a string of sentences that sounds pretty.
What was your title for that?
If Jordan Peterson didn't have all the words.
Well, yeah, I think really that guy had fewer words, but had more ways to say them.
Which brings us to the latest in quantum theory. Did we talk about the theory that the world is now presenting itself as you look at it?
No, we just talk about that between you and I all the time.
The latest is like, it's like a video game where like it doesn't exist until you're there, which is such bullshit because there's 8 billion of us. So that means that each one of us is born with the ability to project the astral plane.
That's exactly what it means. But
it's called an astral projection, and it's obvious. What's crazy to me is that smart people actually buy into this crap instead of going, no, the probability is that it's a lot simpler than that, that stuff just exists and we exist in it and are able to process it. It's like the internet exists. It doesn't make itself up because your computer logs on. That would be insane. The internet is there and then you log on and are able to access it. In that way, it seems like a simulation because we're processing it. So technically,
the internet doesn't exist just because it exists, like the sun and the moon is there.
Right, but
well,
it does.
Not the moon, but like the sun.
But I'm drawing a parallel to your computer doesn't invent the internet by logging on.
Yeah, but people invented the internet.
But that's not the point. The point is the internet exists and your computer taps into it. Much like the world exists and we tap into it. We just look at it. It's not creating itself
in
the moment.
Yeah, but like, you know, ChatGPT isn't going to put a story together until you tell it to.
Yeah.
The potential is still there, but it's not until you take action that it comes into fruition.
The things that exist on the internet exist there and then you can find them. I'm not talking about ChatGPT inventing a story. I'm talking about a substrate that exists that we're able to tap into. So that is the way that the world works. The world exists and we are able to tap into it. The internet exists. People invented it, but it exists. And then you tap into it. It's not like your computer invents the internet every time you click Safari browser. It taps into something that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's
I think you're saying the same thing that the quantum physicists are saying.
No, the quantum physicists are saying it doesn't exist until you're looking at it. That's what they're saying. How is this not computing to you? I'm lost at how you are lost at this. The new astral projection theory is that as we move, like a video game, it loads itself. It's not loaded until you get there. So if you're all alone and nobody else is around and you're driving through the forest, the trees are appearing because you're there, which is a fucking ridiculous idea. No, the trees are there and you just went by them. Like, quit trying to complicate everything to past a degree of like probability that is so improbable. It is unbelievable to me that people think it might be true. Unless what they're doing is just saying, this is a theory. Because, I mean, I can invent 10,000 theories. You know, mice control cats that are invisible, and they invent the world. So that's the new theory. That's as ridiculous as it invents itself because you're looking at it. Fucking retarded. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm putting a hard R in retard there.
I think what baffles me the most is how worked up you get about this. It is, because it is a theory. It's absolutely a theory. Yeah.
And it's not a good one. What makes me angry is how people, it's almost like you're tricking people into thinking that fucking, it's just bullshit. It's total bullshit. And it's so obviously bullshit. If you just ask yourself, is that more probable? Or is it just probable that the world exists? And we're all just in it. What's more probable? It seems like the one that exists is the one that's more probable. So let's just worry about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I It seemed, remember, I told you this story when you first told me this theory, and I have not looked into this theory at all, but what it reminded me of is, was one of my first childhood memories. I was probably around 2 years old, and I was like in the car, my mom got in the car, and I just had this thought that all the people around me are there for me. Like, everybody exists for me, and
yeah, you still kind of have that, don't you?
My thought was like along those lines, you know, like I'm the center of the universe. That was my thought. But then as I got older and I went to college and I studied childhood psychology, I learned that children are, you know, up until like around 3 or 4, that's their mentality is right. They're the center of the universe. And anyways, they grow out of it. And so that's what that theory reminds me of, is that 2-year-old mindset.
Yeah, exactly. That's
but I don't think it's that. I don't know. But I also truly do believe in quantum physics. And I do believe that, you know, the nature of objects does change by the interaction, whether physical or energetic, of a person. I do believe that.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that one, too.
Yeah.
They say that an object under observation changes.
Yeah, they've done a lot of studies about this. Yeah.
The only way to prove that is to not observe the object. But if you're not observing the object, you can't tell what state it's in.
But they can. The way that they've done it in controlled environments is they've had less interaction in one environment than the other one. And so that's how they can tell.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, there's a no deal in there. The only way to observe something is to observe it, either with a recording or, you know, some type of electromagnetic thing. So if you're observing it and recording it,
mm-hmm.
observing and recording are the same thing.
I need to look up a study that I had when I was like looking into quantum physics years ago. There's one study in particular, and they were looking at studies from the past, and like even the study itself changed. And I can't remember all what was involved, but it was this study in particular is like what really sold me on everything. I was like, that can't be real.
Well, I've seen where they like when they're observing a molecule or a set of molecules, and then they show what happens when a human looks at it, like mm-hmm. under the mic, and it seems to change.
Yeah.
But there has to be other, I'm just not so sure about it because, you know, I have a couple of questions. If that's true, I have questions. How close did the person have to get to observe it? Mm-hmm. And then I say, okay, what is our electromagnetic field? And is it actually that the thing was reacting to the closeness of an electromagnetic field? Because we do put off energy.
Yeah.
Was that person wearing a lead-lined vest? Was the molecule, I'm serious, in question, surrounded entirely by lead?
Mm-hmm.
When you focus light, does it also project energy from you? So when you put your eye up to a microscope, does it also project the energy that's coming from your body through those glass lenses and actually attack the thing that you're looking at? Is that possible?
I think that's kind of the point, though.
See, but that's not quantum. That would be mechanical physics. That would be electromagnetic interference, which is a thing. So I think there are more questions. The more that I learn about quantum physicists, like the guy that was presenting the quantum chip molecule acting on its own. So basically, the guy that was presenting, and this was like a MIT guy or at one of these schools, wherever they invented the new molecule for the Google chip, the quantum thing that says it is in two states of being at the same time. The way that he described it was, when they were looking at it, it was vibrating and also it was still at the same time. And my argument for that is that depends on how fast your lens to take the picture is. Mm-hmm. Because if I take a picture of a vibrating thing, it's going to look like it's still. So what are you talking about? It's vibrating and it's still at the same time. this is stuff that, I mean, either my brain really can't do it, which I refuse to believe, because I don't think that there's anything that's understandable that every brain can't understand, or it's something else entirely. They're just using jargon and we just believe it because we don't understand it, instead of asking more and more questions and getting to the heart of the matter. Like the theory that the nucleus of the cell disappears and reappears. I think, so they thought that originally, and then they invented microscopes that can go even further in and see that that's divided into quarks and gluons inside of there. And they move up and down and left and right. And that makes me think, oh, they're just moving so fast that we don't have the ability to detect the movements. So we say it disappears, but it just is moving too fast to be picked up by our aperture. I don't know what the thing is that, you know, whatever the lens shutter speed is necessary to pick up the movement. I just don't think we're able to see it. That's what I think, the whole quantum theory. I think, you know, I think there's less magic to it and more explanation available. And we just, we need to simplify maybe our look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got some real problems with it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a smart one.
Well, I mean, you know, they say like the quantum, people like to argue it by saying that the theory of relativity proved the atomic bomb. That's a totally different thing. E equals MC squared is mass, is basically understanding that you can pack a very small area with a high density of particles, and when you split that apart, it will explode. Okay, that makes sense. That's physics. That's not quantum physics. That's just physics and chemical physics. So it's like those things all make sense. But the theory of relativity being the speed of light squared, that's the speed of light times the speed of light. In order to test a theory, you have to be able to essentially recreate your theory. You have to be able to put it into motion. But until we invent something that can go the speed of light, we can't prove the theory. So it's a theory. And this is where we all go, we take this crazy leap from theory to mechanics, and we say, yeah, the mechanics exists. But the truth is, no, it's all just a working theory until you can actually provide proof, which they don't do and can't do.
For most things, isn't gravity a theory?
Gravity is a law.
Oh. But it was once a theory.
I mean, it depends on who you ask. You know, gravity is very real.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to think of things that... Things are all theory at one point in time.
Yeah.
Until they are, like you said.
Well, and then, yeah, at
but
some
even
point...
even a law itself can be...
Proven and disproven, yeah. If you turns out it was wrong, but you know gravity exists, and
I mean,
there
I love
is a
you,
pull.
Baby, but I think we got to move on from this topic. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm
Sounds
getting
good.
Sleepy.
All right. Well, then, yeah. I guess that's it, folks. what do you want to talk about?
Well, I got a few things. I've got some new words. I've got some, you know, did I handle that well? Segment, you know, updates. For everybody, I could share. So a couple weeks ago, I shared, did I handle that well? And then last week, I told you all that I made that same girl cry. But I will tell you, a new development is everything is fine, and we completed the project as of Friday. It's all good. Nobody's crying. We're all good. So that's good. And then I guess I'm just done.
Wait. Okay.
Okay.
The project is completed.
Yes. Yeah. Anyways, what do you have?
Well, did you handle it well?
I don't know. I feel like it's boring, so I'm not going to talk about it. Okay.
Yeah, work stuff.
Okay. What do you have?
This is called passive-aggressive ping pong. well, I do have the bomb with me, but I don't want to take away from the, did I handle that well? So was there more to that?
No, I have another story, but I'm not going to do it. It's okay. It's boring.
Well, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
No, you tell it, and then we'll let the listeners decide if it was boring.
No, it's okay. I don't want to talk about it.
Well, that's not how this show works.
That's right.
So, ready, set, go. What else did you... Are you curious if you handled well?
No, I'm not going to. I already crossed it off. It's good.
Oh, no. It's already crossed off. All right. Well, if you were to try to read it, what would it say?
No, because I get sleepy just reading it. So.
Oh, okay. But I do want to know. I'm curious. Everybody out there is curious to know.
I know.
What did you potentially mishandle?
I don't know. I'll talk about it next week.
No, it's not. We have a lot of time to fill.
All right. How about a new word?
No. You got to tell me the handle. Did you handle it? Well, let's go. Come on. Stay on task here.
I don't know yet. I dropped the ball on something and it was a very public email thread on Friday in the middle of snowboarding that I realized that I dropped the ball and some, you know, very high ups are asking about it. And I had to reply back in such a way to not, you know, completely lie, but also not throw myself under the bus. And so the response from that email from this higher up was, okay, I'm on standby. So I need to provide some answers very soon.
Okay.
But yeah, that's it.
And the thing that you need to provide is support on...
Because in the past, I would have been very forthcoming. I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to do that thing. And which isn't like the politically correct thing to do in a corporate environment.
Yeah. Oh shit.
I mean, everybody cusses at work. It's a very common thing. But I would always be very honest. Like, I try to own my shit whenever I mess up. And while that is important, I'm coming to learn in the corporate environment, you can't just do that because that also ruins your reputation. So you have to do it in a way that continues to foster trust between you and your coworkers. So the question is,
do you admit, look, I took the day off. We had a snowboard day. It was planned well in advance. I made a mistake of not telling you guys, but that's why I dropped the ball on Friday, but I'm back on it.
No, because this happened like 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to do something and I didn't do the thing. I forgot and I just totally forgot. And then something else came up that can't get done until the thing that I was supposed to do 2 weeks ago got done.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you just have to suck it up.
Now I have to light a fire under these other people that need to do that original thing.
Okay.
Have them do it quickly.
You can't blame it on the missing computer.
No, because that's job number two. This is for job number one.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. The reason why I like this segment, maybe not so much for this podcast, is I feel like I am growing professionally and I'm trying to learn how to play the political game a little bit just out of pure survival.
Yeah.
And, you know, protecting my career, which I do enjoy. So.
Well, yeah. So the question here is, do you just own it and apologize and move on? Or do you hope nobody asks any more questions and you get the other people to do it and then we all move forward?
I did own it. I did own it, but it not in such an obvious way. It was because I knew 1,000% it was because I was supposed to do this thing. But in the email, I said, I think I was supposed to follow up on that. Let me look into it. I'll tell you more. That was more of how I handled it.
And what time was that on Friday?
That was on the way to the mountain.
And so then they said, I'm on standby.
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't ever, so far, you haven't gotten back to that?
No, that's what I've been needing to do all day today that I've been waiting to do after the recording.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
So, it'll okay. Be fine. I have a question then. Now, this might get me in trouble. Why didn't you do it on Friday when we got back from snowboarding?
Because
of the food?
Yeah, I think because it was like a long day and I was tired. And also, but there's only so much I can do now because it's after working hours. I can't.
You got to get people to do it.
The bare minimum all I can do is send emails and like create some tickets and get the ballroom. But nothing's going to happen until Monday anyway. So it didn't matter if I did it Friday afternoon, if I did it yesterday. I didn't do it yesterday because I was working on that project for job number two.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna work on that today.
But somebody in the higher ups is standing by waiting on you since Friday.
Yes.
And so that's the pressure that you're feeling. Did you handle it well?
Did I handle it well?
So
we will see. And yeah. I mean, I've been in kind of a bad mood because I think I should not have taken off on Friday, but snowboarding was a lot of fun.
Well, I think you know, in for the future, like if you're going to take off, you got to tell people that you're taking off instead of just not telling anybody and then just taking off. And then everybody goes, yeah. Oh, well, we assume she's at her desk. So the answer is probably could have handled it differently in terms of actually how to take the day off.
I know.
Because we did know.
Because I didn't want to take the day off. I wanted to like kind of fly under the radar and do my work on Saturday.
Right.
And that's usually how Fridays go.
But everybody understands. I mean, you've been busting your ass for this company. You're a temporary employee. So they only have so many expectations from you. So far, you have been killing it and exceeding expectations, and everybody likes you, and you've been considered for positions that no longer exist. but the fact is, you were considered for these positions. So, you know, to me, it seems like, you know, just saying, hey, I'm not going to be, I think that's, from my standpoint, you probably could have handled that differently, and that would have been enough to kind of maybe fix where your head is since then.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than feeling like you're in trouble.
Yeah, I've been kind of feeling that way all weekend.
Trouble.
And then I've got this new event for job number two, and I still don't know how I'm going to tell job number one that I'm going to be gone for a whole week. It's in 2 weeks.
Well, can't you just have your computer with you for job number one and do both like you've been doing? Just carry it around to the function with you and just have it so you can check in every hour or so, make sure there's no fires to put out, and then put out the fires, but also let them know. I mean, I really do think that you can tell them, hey, I have accepted a position. I'm doing this other work. I'm also going to be doing the work for job number one. But at some point, I mean, they have to know because you're already up to month four of a 6-month contract. So you're halfway through. Mm-hmm. What do they think you're going to do? Wait till the job runs out and then start looking for work? Magically line it up to where you have a new company that brings you in exactly when the other one ends? No, there's going to be overlap, and it has begun.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I would tell them, hey, look, I am doing this other job. I will be at this function. I also will have my computer on me, but I'm going to be, you know, my attention will be split for this week. So just so you guys know, that is the plan. And I'd give them a little bit of heads up. I wouldn't probably tell them the day before. I wouldn't tell them on the Friday before you're gone the next week. I would tell them like,
I have to tell her. I have to tell my boss this week.
Mm-hmm. Maybe tell them this Friday.
No, because I meet with my boss on Tuesday. So, and she's, but I'm going to but I'm going to meet her in person the week after because she's coming to Phoenix for an event.
Okay.
So,
well, yeah, you got to pick which time you tell her, but definitely I think that's the time to do it. Maybe the time to do it would be when you meet her in person.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to feel it out. I might make some phone calls. See what other people in my network think I should do. How to handle it. That'll be a big, how did I handle it? Did I handle it well?
I think you just got to take that one on the nose, and you have to say, look, this is a temporary. I think you just have to build it just like that. This is a temporary position. So far, I don't have an offer, so I have been continuing in my application process, and I have accepted a full-time job. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay there yet. That sort of depends on what happens here. But in the meantime, I have to create security for myself. I am able to handle both at the same time, but there's one overlap that you guys have to know about, and that is, you know, I would lead with, I can handle them both. I am handling them both, but I've got a week coming up where I'm going to be at a thing. But also the two jobs intersect, don't they? Oh no, that's right. That's the old job and the new job.
Yeah. Yeah. Old job is going to be in Phoenix that same week.
But the new job,
I was really hoping to go to that conference.
The two new jobs don't overlap at all. And there's no way for them to like mutually benefit from you being at them both.
No.
Yeah.
No. I've been like looking for stuff like that, but no, but that's good because if there was overlap, then I would be in a lot of trouble. So
Well, or you'd be sitting in a great position to be able to work them both and have them both know about each other, because you'd be, you know, operating for the mutual benefit of both jobs. But that's not, that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Job number one, they don't even talk to companies that make less than $50 million a year. And job number two is I feel about the same startups. Way. Yeah.
I feel them. I don't want to talk to anybody that doesn't make $50 million a year. Okay. Well, let's get into the bomb. This is Juneteenth of last year. My worst bomb to date. So turn your attention to the big screen in the corner and let's get nervous. Here we go.
Let's keep it going for Raymond Stone.
Shorts on stage.
Ooh. Yeah, I got my knees out too. Also, did you say first date airport? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. No, we can stop there. That's fine. It turns out autism is cool. It's like in now, you know? Like, I'm always confused about what the trend, the next trend is going to be. But really, it's my fault, you know, for being so short-sighted. Like, I just didn't look down the road that far. Yeah. Touchy, touchy. Touchy, touchy is one of those phrases. It means something totally different at different phases in your life. Like, as a child on the playground, touchy, touchy meant... quit being a little bitch, you know? Touchy, touchy. And now as an adult in the Chinese massage parlor, doesn't it kind of mean the same thing? You want the touchy, touchy, you're going to be a little bitch about this. You know, they sound a little angry too all the time. Like, you want to, let's move on from that. I'm so glad you're up front, Raven. Warning, will cause extreme anxiety, explosive diarrhea, financial ruin, and accelerated aging. That should be the label on my girlfriend's fertility vitamins. I'm saying happy Father's Day, you guys. Come on. Lighten up. And happy Juneteenth. I was here sort of right on time, and I walked in. And the owner goes, Lamar's late. And I walked back out, and I was like, cool. And I was like, wait, today? Lamar's black. Come on, guys. Is that only funny to me? I'm sorry. Listen, I wore these shorts in honor of Father's Day. It's to say, if your father was an ex-convict, don't take workout advice from that guy. Fuck leg day, am I right, Dad? You know what I mean? In fact, actually, don't take any advice from that guy. He's a convict.
You're just sinking further. Maybe not.
I'm losing my mind because Raven won't look at me, and I just want him to look at me. Listen, I'm going to leave you with this, okay? Carrots are baby food, but you will have to mutilate either the carrot or the baby.
Okay. No.
That's my time. I'm Ray.
I forgot about that one. Oh, my God. I do not like this set. I cringe so hard. Those were such cringy jokes. They were so cringy.
The whole thing.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Start to finish. Although the massage parlor, I forgot about touchy-touchy. That's actually a funny joke premise.
It is, yeah. That was the only one that the people actually kind of liked.
Touchy, but touchy.
They didn't like the way you delivered it, and they saw where you were going.
Yeah, and then they liked when I abandoned it. That was the biggest laugh I got, was when I was like, all right, let's let that one go. And everybody's like, oh, fucking thank God.
Yeah. That was the best part. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Which joke should we start with?
The shorts, I think.
Yeah, and is that why you're wearing shorts today? Is it in honor of the bombing episode? No shorts, no
I'm
shoes?
I'm not wearing shorts.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You put pants on?
I've been wearing pants the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
And shoes, yeah.
on camera, you can't even tell. It just looks like it could be anything down there. But it could be a skirt. Holy shit.
You know,
huh?
You've been wanting to tell that carrot food joke for a long time. And like, that's the set to tell it on. Because you know nobody's going to laugh.
Yep.
And you get it out of your system.
I knew that joke was going to be horrible. And I fed it to them.
You made them. Yeah.
I made them eat that carrot. Because I was like, you know what? If we're going down, I'm going to go down all the way. I know you don't finish a set with a mutilated baby. Unless you've already jumped off that cliff. And I was so far over the edge.
The you did not have the crowd. Like, they did not like you at all. So far, you called your girlfriend a bitch.
What?
Yeah, you did. Like, when you were talking about the fertility.
Oh, no. I was saying that. That's what it... That's... I'm saying kids will ruin your life, is what I was saying.
Oh.
You didn't even understand that?
It sounds like that's what your girlfriend is acting like.
No, my girlfriend's fertility vitamins.
Yeah.
Warning, will cause advanced aging, extreme frustration, and financial ruin.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that is not how the crowd took that either. It sounded like your girlfriend is causing you financial ruin and advanced aging and all of this.
I said, yeah,
that's
girl.
That's how the joke comes across.
Too much emphasis on girlfriend. It's hard to remember fertility vitamins. It's really hard to say those two words together.
Mm-hmm.
When they're not like fertility vitamins, it just doesn't like roll off the tongue.
I think
they're
two different things. You're thinking of a multivitamin.
You were taking fertility vitamins.
I was not.
You called them that.
Oh, but I was not taking fertility vitamins. They were what are they called? Prenatal vitamins is what they're called.
Okay, very good. Same thing.
No, it is not.
It's prenatal fertility. It is. It's what you do when you're trying to be as healthy as possible so as to conceive a child, right?
Yeah, but every woman should be taking prenatal vitamins because they're just really good for you. It doesn't matter.
Oh, gotcha.
They just market them that way.
You hear that, ladies? Take your prenates.
But yeah, so what was the joke you had before that?
I don't know. I black out every time I said, yeah, I got my knees out as well. That was the touchy-touchy.
That was what was your first joke?
You want to watch it again?
Oh, no.
I don't know. We're moving on past it. If you want to see it, you got to go back and watch it again. But dang, that was hard.
It did not come across well. Because first you threw your girlfriend under the bus. And then you threw your dad under the... Then you threw all black people under the bus. And then you threw your dad under the bus.
Yeah. You have to get them on your side.
First,
is what you have to do. And I did not have anybody on my side. No. They did like the abandoning the Chinese... joke was, you know, that was pretty much
as a former school teacher, I always like to focus on the positive just as much, if not more, than the negative.
No,
so
we don't need to.
I do want to say that you are very much, you know, present on stage, meaning you're not attached to what you had planned. You're very present, and you're very present in the fact that you know people aren't laughing at your joke, so you're going to abandon it. And you know that, like, Raven is judging the fuck out of you.
Because he's good friends with Lamar, and they hate me.
Yeah. And you made... That was funny when you were, like, talking about, like, you're like, I'm dying up here because Raven won't even look at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. I definitely...
And I like that. I think that is a huge positive.
I think as far as bombs go, at least it was like, you can't stop watching. It was like that kind of bomb where it's like, oh God, this is so... But it wasn't like, ugh, boring.
Like that one dude. Yeah. Yeah. But this was the set that you afterwards, Lamar went back up clearly knowing that you were like, you know, being racist up there.
That's right.
And he was like, oh, that was goddamn manliest hands I've ever felt.
I mean, I thought we were cool. The manliest hands. Yeah. And he was like just trying to, he was trying to bag on me, but he was like giving me props about having man hands.
Yeah.
But he was not, nobody was happy with that set. Not me, not you,
He's
not the
black.
I thought I said it far more like enthusiastically than that, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because he's black.
Oh, no. And then when I heard you start the baby food joke, I was like, fuck, he's doing this on purpose.
Yeah. It just feels good. Okay, so something we had talked about just briefly earlier, and then we saved it for this podcast. I'm doing work for a guy right now. Well, I just did a little project for a guy who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and it has metastasized. That's what stage 4 means. It's spread into other stuff. But pancreatic cancer, once you get that, you're dead. That's a death sentence. There's no turning back.
My friend's brother has it, or had it.
It's it. Yes. It's over. So, but he has some stuff that he wants me to do around the house. Well, he asked me when I was over there, because one of my other clients said, hey, will you go install grab bars for him for the for like ADA handicap assistance on the toilet? I go, yeah, sure. And then that client paid for it. Now, this guy has money. He was a veterinarian. He has, you know, owns his home, and, you know, he's got some money. Craziest collection of like World War I and World War II guns. Crazy collection that he couldn't wait to show off. But I went over to put a door back on. He has like a display cabinet, an antique, but no more antique than my father's display cabinet for like movies and stuff, with a glass door and a latch. And the door had come apart, and he had tried to fix it. And he goes, hey, before you go, would you take this with you and then fix it? I go, yeah, sure. So I put it back together, pin it together. It's not nice, but it was broken, missing pieces. So I just put it together, glued it, and screwed it, and I was going to bring it over and put it back in. And he goes, hey, I want you to do a couple of other things for me. And I go, okay, show me what you got. So he shows me a couple little projects, and we come back in, and he says, so what I'm going to do is write you a check, then I'm going to date it and sign it, and then you can just fill in the amount in the event that I die. And I just go,
no, you didn't. No, like you, he posed it a different way the first time you told it to me, which was much funnier. And he was like, hey, I don't know how much longer I have left. Yeah. So why don't you just fill out the amount?
Well, that's exactly. Yeah. He's like, but he goes, so if I die before this work, and I'm just like, dude, what is the. I don't Bummer. Know what the proper thing to do here is. Like,
no, is it like, yeah, like, is he trying to get sympathy, or is he trying to get a discount? What is the angle?
I think he's not trying to get a discount. I think he has the money. I think he wants to get some work done. I think he knows I've done a couple things for him. One thing that somebody else paid for, and I was also kind and like helped him to move around, which this time he was actually moving around a little better. The pellet, okay. The radiated pellets, I guess, settled down and he's doing okay. But I guess they like put radiated pellets in your pelvis, and then that somehow helps. But he couldn't move the last time I was over there. This time he could actually move. I think he wants me to pay me to do some stuff, because I've done some stuff for free. And I'm thinking, you know, he's like, all right, there are the things that he showed me. They need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest thing is, like, you know, in my mind, I go, why are we doing this?
Yeah, you're checking out.
It doesn't matter. Bless you. And then the other thought is, yeah, go ahead and make that check out. I'll decide how much. I mean, is this like a government contract? What do we, how many zeros am I going to add on to this? Mm-hmm. It's only
is this paid for by insurance?
Yeah. But yeah, so I go, I don't know what to do here. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I don't want to take advantage. And also, like, tell you, I'm not going to tell you what to do. If you want to do this work, we can do the work. But, you know, obviously, you know, I'm going to charge. And he's like, yeah, yeah, obviously. And I'm like, okay, well, let's hold off on handing the check. What was
that? I don't know. That was weird.
From the depths of the octopus.
I was hoping you didn't hear that.
No, everyone heard it. So that's really weird. Doing construction, doing contract labor for a guy who is on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And it could be weeks, it could be days. You just don't know, with this kind of stuff.
So he's giving out blank checks all over town.
I know. And I'm just like, all right, well, you know, how much am I supposed to do? So, I mean, he's just covering his ass saying, like, if I do work and buy stuff and then he croaks before I get paid, at least I have a check with his signature and I can cash it real quick before his, you know, kids come in and shut off the bank account. You know, and I can like prove that, you know,
you make $300 an hour and
I make like $9,000 an hour. that's a weird one.
Yeah. Well, I need some help with some jokes.
Okay. We got jokes, people.
Mm-hmm.
From ChatGPT?
No. Oh. I mean, I was going to put them in a ChatGPT, but he's useless, honestly. He doesn't make good jokes.
You got to get Grok unhinged, I guess.
I've been hanging out with you long enough, I think.
Oh, you have your own jokes.
I'm starting to like see stuff like, oh shit, like that could be a joke. I've never done that before, but it's just kind of like coming to me. I think it's because I'm like with you all the time.
What was the premise you came up with the other day?
That's one of them. I have two.
Tell me that one first. Just remind me of it and tell everybody else.
So the other day I'm like hiking. I'm going pretty quickly down the mountain and I'm thinking about how like I personally don't like surprises, but like most girls do.
Most girls
love surprises. You know, but like you have to be specific on what kind of surprises you like, because like a surprise fall down the mountain is not fun, and like especially a surprise attack isn't good. I feel like there's something there.
This is so funny, and this is the classic case of trim all the fat, get rid of the fall. Girls love surprises unless it's an attack. It's a surprise attack.
Here's what I wrote on my notes.
Okay.
I said, surprise attack. Girls like surprises. Maybe not all surprises.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. So it's just like, girls love surprises. A nice surprise trip or a surprise trip to dinner. You don't even have to say it. Girls love surprises. Except for attacks. Unless it's an attack.
Yeah.
I think it's so trim. It's going to be all about how you say it. Okay, but that's a good premise. That's a really funny premise.
And yeah, it's something that I'm kind of like, quote unquote, working on.
She's thinking about
it. She's
thinking about going up at Bridget's.
Up there. In the dusty old room where nobody's listening. Yeah.
I just want
to go up there and troll on people. Okay. Here's the other thing that I read this morning. I get these interesting facts emails.
Okay.
I actually really like them. And, today's seven interesting facts where nursery rhymes came from. I didn't read all of them. I don't care about all of them except for one. And it's the song, Here We Go Around the Mulberry Bush.
Round and round the mulberry bush.
Yeah, you're going around the bush. That joke originated in a woman's prison. Here we go around the mulberry bush. I feel like I don't have anything, but I feel like there's something funny.
The monkey chased the weasel.
I don't know. There's women going around a bush in a women's prison, like, and they're really happy about it. Like, what bush? They say there is actually a mulberry bush, but was there?
Round and round the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey stopped to scratch his butt. Pop goes the weasel. Mm-hmm. That's the rhyme. Mm-hmm. How does that equate to anything to do with a woman's prison?
It originated in a women's prison in England. There was a big mulberry bush outside of a women's prison, and that's where the song originated from.
Maybe it was actually that they just watched a monkey chase a weasel around a mulberry bush, and they enjoyed that.
I don't know. I think it's funny that in a women's prison, where we know what women do in women's prisons, is about being happy around a bush, and it's a children's song. I think there's something funny there. I don't know. Okay, the fact that...
Yeah, but it actually... Yeah, I guess I'm I hear what you're saying, because you want it to be about the bush. But the monkey and the weasel getting... So a monkey chases a weasel around the bush is the story. So is it about a guard chasing a weasel? The weasel would be someone who tells.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who tells on other people. And then is the monkey the guard? So the guard... Pop goes the weasel. Oh, maybe that's it. The guard is trying to get the weasel to tell until eventually the weasel pops.
I don't know. I mean, in all honesty, I did not know the whole nursery rhyme. I just knew the title, and I thought I had heard it before. Here we go around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush. Here we go around the mulberry bush. Da, da. I think that's a different song.
Yeah, what? Here we go around the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush, the mulberry bush.
That's how I thought it went. That's not it. What song is that?
Have you heard What I said? Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
And does that pop ring any bells?
The weasel.
Round and round the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel.
I never heard that. Monkey stopped
to scratch his butt, and pop goes the weasel. That's the nursery rhyme that it is.
Yeah, someone's telling on those women for going around the bushes. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, maybe that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's exactly what it is. But I don't know how that would turn into a joke. I hear what you're saying.
All right, we're going to cross that one out.
It's about a book, you know, the nursery rhyme about the monkey chasing a weasel around a mulberry bush originated in prison. But I don't see an immediate path to how that would make everybody laugh.
I don't know, because I did not think about a weasel or a monkey. I just thought about women around a bush.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good.
Okay.
I like it. I mean, that's the game. It, you know, it's like thinking of things that are right there in front of everybody and you don't know if it's funny or not until you kind of explore it.
I do think it's funny that girls like surprises because I...
That's hilarious.
I really don't like them. I really don't.
So I have a joke that I haven't tried yet that it's crowd work where I want to be like, okay, I want to be like, everyone loves... I think that the reason we like go for adrenaline is because we are scared of our dads as kids. Like everyone's like... When your dad's gonna get you, remember?
Not me.
Remember?
My mom. Remember, I'm scared of my mom.
But no, the game gonna get you. When dad's gonna get you, oh, he's gonna get you. So everyone loves being scared just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I wanna ask the crowd, yeah, you guys all like that? You like being scared? And then I wanna single out if there's a woman nodding her head, I'll be like, yeah, you like being scared, right? Well, that's handy. What car is yours? Cause I was gonna follow you out into the parking lot. But it's like, oh, I think you need more time. That's handy. I was going to follow you out into the parking lot. You like being scared?
I just remembered your first joke on this bombing set, and it was the Down syndrome joke.
Mm-hmm.
That was your first joke. And so not only was it a pun, which we don't do, it was a pun. You know, it was against, you know, handicapped people.
Oh, I saw. I knew that one. I you know what? I knew that. The whole set was going to go just the way that it did because
really,
I knew walking into it that you don't tell a Down's syndrome joke and you don't tell puns. And I was like, fuck it, I'm doing them both.
In my first joke.
You don't see, I just didn't see. It is funny though, because I was thinking about how like everybody's saying, oh yeah, I'm autistic, I'm on the spectrum. And that's like a good thing in business now. Like it's like something people are claiming as a, as a pro.
Oh yeah, you're neurodivergent. Mm-hmm. I'm neurodivergent. I tell that on applications.
Yeah, do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started doing that. Well, until Trump came into office. I always would like not say, and then I started to say that I do have like a thing, and I noticed I started getting more callbacks when I did.
That's so insane.
Yeah, it is insane.
Well, baby, we're at an hour. Shout out to the sun. So I just want to let everybody know my motorcycle has charged successfully to 100% on the sun today.
Fuck yes.
So congratulations. You can do it. It is possible. And it works great. Just put that juice right in your bike and smoke it. So put that juice in your bike and smoke it.
Now, would you say that bike is a pneumatic device?
Pneumatic or nomadic?
Pneumatic.
Pneumatic or nomadic?
Pneumatic.
Pneumatic, the tires are, yeah.
Yeah.
With a P, pneumatic.
Yeah. That was one of my words.
Yeah, obviously, aka filled with air.
Pneumatic, containing or operated by air or gas under pressure. Mm-hmm. I thought it meant moving constantly, so.
That's perpetual.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. Well, brought to you by.
Now you can cross that word off.
We've brought to you by sure. Now you can cross that word off. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening along, and I hope you've enjoyed this very special Bomb With Me section on our 16th. All of this is temporary with so many more to come, and as soon as we get to 21, we're just going to be throwing money away. So if anybody needs money, once we get to number 21... just come on over because we're going to have so much money coming from sponsor after sponsor after sponsor.
Are we going to have a party?
So many parties.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look at the calendar.
Parties and sponsors. And so anyway, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us. And we will see you next week. So
bye. Bye.